next month on Wednesday nights, Lord, I pray this group, I pray, I'm not worried about how we spread out as a group of believers. Father, I'm worried about how we grow deep in your word. Father, it's not about how many comes, how many's on the pew. It's not about that. It's about how deep we go in the word that we can share you with the lost and dying world. We will not share you, Father, if we don't know what we have in you. And Lord, I'm asking you right now for the next few weeks to illuminate my mind, loosen my tongue. Let me teach your people what you've taught me over the years. I ask it in no other name but the name of Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen. I want to start tonight by saying this. And I don't know where you're at tonight in Christ. I don't know how long you've been saved. I don't have a clue. I don't know. Let me tell you what happened in my life when I got saved, okay? I was an unchurched, uneducated, didn't know nothing about the Bible when I got saved. I knew nothing about the Bible. I knew not chapter. I knew not verse. I knew not books of the Bible. I knew nothing about the Bible that would help me. But I got born again. I didn't have to know anything to be born again. All I knew, I was a sinner in need of a Savior. I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. He reached down and saved me. My pastor gets up, we're going to preach the next Sunday. He says, turn to the book of John. After church, I go to him. I said, man, do I got John? He said, what? I said, do I got John? He said, John's in your Bible. I said, tell y'all. You say, you crazy. No, I'm telling you the truth. We do a lingo around here, a language around here that somebody just got saved don't understand. They won't get it. They don't understand it. And we take it for granted what we know in Christ Jesus. And I said, well, what I do? Where'd I go? And he started teaching me. And he said, we need to start a young convert class because evidently you don't know a whole lot. I said, all I know is I got a Bible and I got a burden and I love telling people about Jesus. So we started a young convert class. He started teaching books of the Bible, started teaching verses and memory verse. And his main thing in my life was you've got to know the Word of God. You've got, because listen, I'm going to ask you, how does anybody, man, I don't want to preach, but I can't help it sometimes. I'm going to ask you a question. Don't answer it. Don't answer it. How does anybody in this room right now know you're saved? Don't answer it. But how do you know you're saved? Well, I prayed the prayer. That don't mean you're saved. Well, I'm on church road. That don't mean you're saved. Well, I got a fuzzy feeling. That don't mean you're saved. I got all this. You can give me a million reasons why you say that you know you're saved. You know how I know I'm saved? My preacher taught me this because the Bible tells me I am. I did what that book said to do. I did what that book said to do. There's days I don't feel like I'm saved. There's days I don't act like I'm saved. You see, what I want to teach you is when you don't feel like it, that don't mean you're lost. When you don't act like it, that don't mean you're lost. When you blow your coup, you lose your top, you do any of these things, that don't mean you're lost. And when you've called on the name of the Lord, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Went off to seminary school. I walked into seminary school, walked in over there, and man, I'm telling you what, I knew nothing. I'm telling you, I didn't pay attention in school. If I'd have listened to my teachers in school, I'd have learned some things, but I didn't. And I walked in, and man, they started telling all these things, and I didn't know what none of this stuff was they was talking about. And then they got talking about a thesaurus, and they got talking about this and that. And I walked up to my seminary professor, and I said, man, what are you talking about? He said, you don't know what none of that stuff is? I said, I don't have a clue. He said, boy, you're behind. I said, you're exactly right. I am behind. He said, but I'm going to teach you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to grow you. So tonight, for the next 4 weeks, what I want you to get is this. I want to teach you and show you in the Word of God what we have in Christ Jesus. So tonight, if you'll look with me in Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 8 and verse number 9, that's where we're going to start tonight. And the title of the Young Convert class, every week it'll be something different. But this week, I want to talk to you about the first thing first. The first thing is this, is that you are born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. You must know that you're saved, that you've been born again, you've been bought with a price. And you'll see here on your paper, I wrote down, you're saved. So tonight, if you've called on the name of Jesus, listen to me tonight, you're saved. There's not nothing you can do to get more saved. Saved is saved. You can't do nothing more to get more saved. You can't do not one thing to get more saved. Now, you can get closer to God. You can get more in line with God. You can get more knowledgeable. But you can't do nothing else to get more saved. When you're saved, you're saved. And tonight, I want you to get this. I would almost dare to say that if there's a verse that You need to know, and a lot of us, they learned John 3:16 at a young age. But a key verse tonight to memorize would be this, and that would be Ephesians chapter number 2, verse 8 and 9. He was talking there to the Gentiles, and he said, "For by grace are you saved through faith." And here's what Paul told the church at Ephesus. He said, "Listen to me." He said, "It's got to be by grace or you wouldn't have got in. It's got to be by grace because you're an outcast. You're not worthy to even be saved. But for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast." And I wrote this down on your paper to memorize tonight. To memorize means to know, to learn, and to keep forever. There's never been a memory verse that I've put in my mind that God has allowed me to learn that I've ever forgotten. He said His word will not come back to Him void. Now the ones you don't know is because you've not learned them. The ones I don't know is because I've not learned them. You say, "Preacher, what memory verses do you put in there? What memory verses do you learn?" I don't learn every one of them in the Bible, but I learn the ones that mean stuff to me. Amen? I've learned the ones that mean stuff. So tonight, as we go through this week, if I can give you anything, if you're in here tonight and you don't know Ephesians chapter number 2, verse 8 and 9 by memorization that you can rattle it off the end of your tongue, I would advise you, it would behoove you tonight to learn Ephesians chapter number 2, verse 8 and 9. That is a mighty weapon tonight that you can use against Satan tonight. You can wear Satan's head out with that verse right there. When he starts telling you that you ain't no good, you ain't no count, and you ain't even worth saving, and why would anybody even give you a free gift called salvation? You can take him to Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 8 and verse number 9 where it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." It's through faith tonight. "And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." You know why it's not of works? Because you might be able to outwork me. I might be able to outwork you. So he said, "I'm going to level it right now. It's all by the blood of Jesus Christ." He said tonight, you're saved. First things first, you're saved. So the key verse to memorize is Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse 8 and 9. To memorize means to know, to learn, or to keep forever. You have received the greatest gift ever. You cannot receive no greater gift. Any gift that you buy is not near, nowhere compared to the value that this gift is. The gift of salvation. I don't know about you tonight, but you have received the greatest gift. Nothing can compare to this gift. So tonight I'm telling you, if you're saved tonight, born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, you have received the most greatest gift that you ever could in your life. So let's look at this tonight. Salvation is a gift of God. It's a gift from God tonight. So when you got saved, what did you do to get this gift? You did nothing. What'd you do? By faith, you received it. By faith, you believed that Jesus Christ... What did you believe? You believed that Jesus Christ bled and died on an old rugged cross, hung on the cross for our sins, was crucified, put in a borrowed tomb, and on the third day rose again. That is the gospel. That is the gospel. It's not church membership. It's not baptism. It is the gospel. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is the gift that you have tonight. Man, that just excites me tonight when I talk about this gift. And what kind of gift is this? I want to show you a few ways that I see this gift as a gift of God tonight. Look at this tonight. The first gift, it is a perfect gift. When you receive this gift, it is perfect. There's not a flaw in it. There's not a blemish in it. There's nothing wrong with this gift. Tonight, can I say to you this? No matter what you do in your life, you can't blemish it. You can't spot it because that gift is from God and it's not from you. Oh, glory. Think about that. Just grasp that for just a minute. Just grasp that just for a minute. He said it's laid up in heaven for you. Your name has been written in the Lamb's book of life. It's a perfect gift. John 1:29, the Bible says, the next day John who? John the Baptist. The next day John the Baptist, he seen Jesus coming unto him, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." He said, "Look, there is the Lamb of God. That Lamb has not got a blemish. That Lamb has not got a spot. There's nothing wrong with this Lamb. This Lamb is perfect." You say, "Brother BJ, what's the big deal about this Lamb of God? What's the big deal about Jesus?" In the Old Testament, when you brought that Lamb forth, it couldn't have spot. It couldn't have blemish. It could have nothing wrong with it if you was going to offer it for a sacrifice. And can I say to you, when Jesus comes, He had no blemish. He had no spot. Not a bone was broken on Him according to the Word of God. He is our sacrifice tonight. He said the next day He seen Jesus and He said, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. I'm talking about a perfect gift. I've received a lot of gifts in my life, Brother Jerry Gabby. I have. I've received some real good gifts. I've received some gifts that had a big price tag on them. I've received some gifts that you would be blown away with. But I'm telling you what, tonight I have never received a gift like I have when I got born again on August the 27th, 2007, when He took my name and writ it in the Lamb's Book of Life. He took my sin and cast it as far as the east is from the west. He put it in the sea of forgetfulness. He hid it behind His back according to the Word of God. I don't know about you, but that is a perfect gift, never to be brought up again. You say, preacher, who brings my sin up? According to the Word of God, it's the accuser of the brethren. It's old Satan himself. He'll bring up your past. And when he does, you remind him of your future. Amen? You remind him where you're going to spend eternity because of the perfect gift of God. It's a perfect gift. Can I say to you, not only is it perfect, look at your paper. I'm talking about this gift. Do you know you have a perfect gift? It's perfect. Man, I'm talking about brand spanking new. You may say 60 years and it's still brand spanking, glory to God, brand spanking new. Brother Garrett Barnes says he can't cross the bloodline. That blood makes it just new. Look what he said. It's a perfect gift, but also it's a priceless gift. It ain't only perfect, but it's priceless. You can't buy it. I don't care how much money you got. You can only receive it by faith. You can't buy your way to heaven. You can't bargain your way to heaven. You can only plead your way to heaven through the blood of Jesus Christ. Look what he says tonight in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 in verse number 20. I've got it written down for you. It's a perfect gift, but it's also a priceless gift. Don't you take it for granted, for you are bought with a price. Man, did you not know you was bought with a price? For you were bought with a price, therefore. He said, because you've been bought with a price, because you were saved, glorify God in your body. Look what he says here. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So, preacher, what does that mean? That means no matter if in your body or in your spirit, no matter what you do, you glorify God in it. You don't do nothing against your body that would dishonor God. You glorify Him in every area of your life, whether it's in the body or if it's in the spirit. Tonight, my friend, I'm telling you, that gift of God lives inside of you. It is priceless and it is perfect tonight. You've been bought with a price by the blood of Jesus Christ. I see it's a perfect gift. I see it's a priceless gift. But here's another one right here I want to give you that a lot of folks never get a hold of. A lot of people that are born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, live their whole life worrying about losing their salvation. Worried about what, man, I didn't do enough today. I didn't do enough the other day. I didn't do enough. Listen to me. Get off what you're doing. Get on what He done. Get off what you are doing. Listen, you can't do enough to get to heaven. When you start putting that weight and that guilt on you, there's condemnation that comes with it, and it will smother you out. It'll smother a church out. When you put that yoke around somebody's neck, it'll smother them out. That gift is permanent. That gift is permanent. It's not to be given and then taken back. You know what we call them? Indian givers. Y'all, I don't even know where that come from. I don't know. But I've heard that all my life. You just know Indian giver. You give and take. You give and take. A lot of our relationships are that way. We give and they take. Jesus ain't that way. He said it's permanent. He said, preacher, have you done enough since you've been saved to lose your salvation? You bet you I have. You don't know what goes through this warped mind of mine. Don't sit there all religious on me now. Don't you sit there like you got it all together. You ain't nothing but a mess too, just like I am. And you got a warped mind too, and old devil, he'll put the... I've been sitting in services, the Holy Ghost be flying through that place, and something come in my mind, I think, what in the world is that doing up there? What in the world is that in my mind? Preacher's preaching. It may be going through yours right now, Brother Kevin. Preacher's preaching. This thing flying through my head. If it was enough to lose it, I'd have lost it. Listen to me. I'm not preaching a heresy. I'm just preaching Bible. I'm just telling you, Paul told him, he said, listen, I want you to know this gift is permanent. When it comes to your life, friends, I'm telling you, there's been times I have lived like a hellion after salvation. There's been times I've tried to run the other way after salvation. But there's something that lives inside of me, and His name is the Holy Ghost of heaven. And I'm telling you, He's got a pull on me like you ain't never seen. There's been times I wanted to get sideways. There's been times I ain't wanted to do right. There's been times I wanted to do it my way. But listen to me tonight. That gift of salvation is permanent in my life tonight. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 7 and verse number 25. It's on your paper tonight. Hebrews 7, 25. He will save you to the uttermost. You say, what is that, preacher? It don't matter where you go, He's there. It doesn't matter where you go, He is there. You say, well, what about these people that say they're saved, they're living every which way, and they're doing all this? They better make sure they're saved. They better make sure they're saved. Amen. There's something lives inside of me that makes sure that I'm saved. That lets me know that I'm saved. Lets me know that I'm born again. Look what he says tonight. That gift is permanent in our lives. Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore he is able, not you and not me. You're saved tonight. It's a gift. You're saved tonight. It's a gift. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make an intercession for them. That gift that you have tonight, salvation, is a gift of God, but it's also a promised gift. Hebrews 10:23, here's what the Bible said. He said that gift is promised tonight to those that call on His name. Ain't you thankful for that tonight? No matter what you've done in your life, where you've been, what you got going on. Man, I'd hate to know, Brother Tony, I had to go preach a gospel at the jail and that broken lives and say, listen, and they come up to you and they say, I've done this. Oh, he can't forgive that. Oh, you've killed somebody? Well, he can't forgive you. I hate to know I served a God like that. For whosoever will, let him come. Hebrews 10:23 said, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Have you ever made a profession of faith? That's what we're talking about. Being saved, made a profession. Are you saved? I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. That's not a profession. Are you saved? Yes, sir, I'm saved. Born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. I can tell you the day, the time, where that happened. Is that important? It is in my life. Does it have to be in your life? It don't have to be that way. You just got to know there's been a day. Hello? You know that there's been a day. When that question's asked you, you don't waver, you don't flinch. You know, yes, I am a child of God. Yes, I am born again. Yes, I believe that Jesus Christ bled and died on that old rugged cross, buried in an empty tomb, and on the third day rose again. I believe that. He said it's a promise gift. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. He done the promising. You have received the gift of salvation by your faith. By your faith. God has no grandchildren. Hello? Come on, y'all, listen to me on this. God has no grandchildren. You don't get to heaven because mama and papa are saved. You don't get to heaven because your daddy's a preacher. You don't get to heaven because mom and daddy's saved. He has no grandchildren. All he has is children. And he says this in his book. He says you're saved by your faith. When the four individuals brought their friend to Jesus, what did they do? He looked up and he said, by their faith. What did he say? He said, they got some faith going on in their life. Tonight, I want to ask you this question. He said this, by your faith, you believe that Jesus Christ is who he says he is. You put that faith in action. And look what he says here in Romans 10:9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God had did what? Raised him from the dead. What's the last part? That's Bible, buddy. Thou shalt be saved. Tonight, first things first, you're saved. You're saved. That's a young convert class. You're in here tonight. If you're saved, if you're not saved, you can be saved at the end of the service. You can be saved right now by calling on the name of Jesus. It's a young convert class to let you know that salvation is a gift of God. You have received this gift by your faith in Jesus Christ. And once this gift has been received, you have received some things in your life. You have received some things in your life as a child of God tonight. As a child of God. As a believer tonight. You have received some things. And I want to go over these with you tonight. Number one, you have received justification. Here's what justification is. If you have a pen, you're taking notes, you want to write some verses down. I didn't give you everything. I ain't giving you everything. Now, I'll tell you everything, but you got to write some things. Give you everything that's babying you. So if you want to know what justification is, I'm just going to give it to you. Justification is, though I've never sinned, I stand right with God is what justification is. To stand right with God. Let me give you this. Romans 4:25 says, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. We're declared right. If you're saved in here tonight, you are declared right before God as though I never sinned. How is that, Brother BJ? Here's how it is. When you get saved and the blood's applied to your life, you have an advocate. You have someone that's making intercession for you, and his name is Jesus Christ. When God looks down on Brother B.J. Mills, he looks down on my life. He looks through the lens of the blood of Jesus Christ. He looks down, man, get a hold of this, justification in the sight of God. Nothing satisfies God. Your righteousness and my righteousness, Isaiah said, is filthy rags. So what satisfies God, Brother Eric? The blood of Jesus Christ. It's the blood. It's the blood of Jesus. When God looks down on my life and he looks down on me, he looks on me through the blood of the precious Lamb of God. And he sees me as though I've never sinned. You see, I can't wrap my mind around that. That's why it's called grace. That's why it's called mercy. That's why it's called truth. And that's why it's called salvation. We all deserve hell, but he's going to give us heaven if we call on the name of Jesus. We have justification as though I've never sinned. I stand right in the presence of God by the blood of Jesus Christ. God's not in heaven making a checklist. He's not checking, yep, Travis, you messed up today, check. David, you messed up, check. Mason, you check. Brother BJ, check. Kyler, double check. That's my daughter's friend. He's not in heaven doing that. Get that off your mind. You're his child. When he looks down, all he sees is the blood applied to your life. You're justified. You're justified. Who puts that yoke on my neck, preacher? Who makes me think? Satan. He wants you to walk around in fear. He wants you to walk around beat up, beat down, brokenhearted. That's what he wants. He said we're justified by Christ Jesus. That's what you receive, justification. But then he said, not only at that moment you receive justification, but you also receive reconciliation. Man, when I got saved and they was telling me justification, I didn't have a clue. And all they do is just say it from the pulpit and wouldn't tell me about it. I'm like, what in the world is justification? Then they say reconciliation. I said, what in the world is reconciliation? That's being reconciled. That's your relationship has been restored with the Father. How's it restored? By the blood of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus. He says tonight that we're justified and we're reconciled. We have been restored by the blood of Jesus. Our relationship with God has been restored. The relationship, we are restored and we have peace. Romans 5:1 says, therefore being justified by faith. Faith in what? Jesus Christ. We have peace with God. I don't know about you, but I can be in a turmoil with anybody. But when I got peace with God, I've got a peace that passes all understanding. Peace. Peace like a river. Let me give you this. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through what? What is our peace through? Jesus Christ. It's through our Lord Jesus. You will never have peace until you're in right standing with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. People search from church to high and lows, cocaine, marijuana, you named it. Buying stuff, getting stuff. They search to try to get peace. And the only peace is in the inner man. The inner man, when that inner man gets peace, it's the peace that you have with Jesus and God. Turn with me, if you will, to Colossians chapter number 1. If you're taking notes, write this down. You're going to want this. Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1, verse number 20. If you, that peace tonight, the relationship is restored. We have peace. We have justification. We have reconciliation. Relationship's just right. Colossians chapter number 1 and verse number 20. And here's what the Bible says. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 20. And having made peace. Reconcile. And having made peace through the blood of his cross. By him to reconcile all things unto himself by him. I say whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, you now hath he reconciled. There's a time I was an enemy of God. There was a time I was, you know what alienated means? That means I was separated. I was out on my own. living my own life, doing my own thing. But then when I called on the name of Jesus by faith and he saved my soul, he justified me in the face of God, right there in front of God, gave me peace, and he reconciled my relationship. What was broken? You know what was broken in the Garden of Eden? You know what was broken with Adam and Eve? The spirit. The spirit was broken. They died spiritually. They weren't dead physically. They were still alive. Their spirit. What needs to be reunited back with God? Our inner man, our spirit tonight. He said, I'm justified. He said, I'm reconciled. And I want to give you this. Justification, reconciliation, and sanctification. Sanctification tonight. Romans 8, 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. There you go, in. There's no condemnation. There's none of that. To those that are in Christ Jesus. Ooh. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Turn with me, if you will, if you're taking notes. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 30. I want to show you this tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 30. Here's what he says tonight. We have sanctification tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 30. We have sanctification. You say, what is sanctification? That is being set apart. You have been set apart. When he saved you, he took you and set you apart. He set you apart. 1 Corinthians 1:30, the Bible says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us, 1 Corinthians 1:30, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So let me stop here, and I want to make this very clear. Sanctification, to be set apart. You will never walk a perfect Christian life on this side of eternity. I'm sorry. You cannot walk a... Listen, you do your best. I'm not knocking nothing. Do your best. Do the best you can to walk and live for Christ Jesus, but you cannot be totally sanctified here. There's some that preach that there's total sanctification on this side of glory. They can't be. They can't be. The carnality that you live in, the body you live in, the mind that you got, there's no way you can have total sanctification on this side of glory. You can't have total sanctification on this side of glory. Why? Because we live in the flesh. If we could have total sanctification on this side, we wouldn't need Jesus Christ. We could walk it on our own. Let me give you this. So, preacher, what is it? I want to give you this. We're set apart, Romans 8:1. And there's three parts to sanctification. There's three parts to sanctification. First off, there is the initial sanctification. Initial. That's when you're saved. You're initially set apart. You're no longer that lost individual. You're saved. You have a Father in heaven. You've been bought back. You've been bought with a price. You have an initial sanctification. You're saved. Then there is a progressive sanctification. What is that, preacher? Progressive sanctification means it's ongoing. It just ongoes in your life, okay? And I use this story many a times. It's ongoing in your life. I'll never forget, I had a young man get saved in a church. Won't use no names. Had a young man get saved in the church. He's an alcoholic and went on through. And he called me one night about 10:30. He calls me. I pick up the phone. Hello. He is squalling, coming unglued on the other end of the phone. Preacher, I messed up. I said, what have you done? He said, I sat down. I drank half a beer. I drank half a beer at the table, and I didn't want it. And man, he was screaming, going crazy on the phone. And when I finally got him calmed down, I said, praise God. He got quiet on me. He said, what? I said, praise God. I said, how many would he drunk before he got saved? He said, I had drunk till I got drunk. I said, well, what made you stop at half a beer? He said, man, just inside of me, something's telling me to leave it alone. Something's telling me get away from him. I said, praise God. You passed the test. I didn't pass it. I said, oh, yeah, you did. Yeah, oh yeah, you passed the test now. Now, you might have feel like you failed it a little, but you passed the test. You passed. Oh, Satan throwed you a test. Oh, Satan tempted you. And the Holy Ghost said, no, you don't need to go down that road. And he pushed away from it. And when I got on the phone with him, I called him back. I said, how you feel now? He said, man, I feel good. I said, where you at now? He said, I'm on my way home. I've left that place. I'm headed home. I said, praise God. So see, it's an ongoing part of sanctification. I ain't doing what he used to do. I ain't going where he used to go. Have you ever, after you got saved, thought, well, I'm going to go back over there. I'm going to go back and run with that crowd. And you get over there and you're like, we and them don't see eye to eye. We don't jihad. What is that? That's not total sanctification. That's ongoing. That's progressive. You're learning, you're studying, you're growing, you're worshiping, you're growing in Christ Jesus. Now let me tell you when you'll get total sanctification. Totally sanctified is at death. When you die. Now you got the initial, when you got saved. You got the progressive sanctification ongoing in your life. You're pushing away. And then you have total sanctification only at death. When you leave this world and enter the glory world. Then your salvation no longer is by faith. It is reality. Right now we're living by faith. One day we'll live reality. We'll live with Jesus forever. So let me give you the last point here as we move on tonight. Not only do we have that in this body and we have that we do. There's not only justification, reconciliation, and sanctification, but there is a transformation. What's that transformation? People. Not only do you know things is going on in your life, but people start noticing things are different. If nobody's noticed that you've been saved, you better make sure you're saved. If your work group don't even know that you're a child of God, they don't know you attend church. They don't know that you're saved. They don't know. And they're looking at old dirty stuff on their phone and they're cussing and carrying on and you're right there with them and you're drinking and everybody's just having, and they don't even know that you're a child of God. You better make sure you're saved. Because there's going to be a transformation in your life. There's no way the God of glory can come inside your little old heart and not make a difference. There just ain't no way. There's no way, folks. Man, I want you to get that tonight. Do you got to be a Bible thumper? No. Do you got to be a cross wearer? No. No. But there ought to be a transformation. There ought to be something different. There ought to just be something different. Just ought to be something different. I said, I don't know what's wrong with that boy, but there's something different about it. I don't know what's wrong with that girl, but they just something a little different. You ever had somebody say that? They notice when they cussing like crazy and you get up and walk out and don't, you ain't gotta correct them. But they notice when you get up and walk out. They notice when things are going haywire and you just say, man, I'm out of that. Go ahead, have your little party. I'm going over yonder, I'm out of here. They notice that stuff. And what is that? That's that transformation that's took place in your life. Romans 12:2, the Bible says, and be not conformed to this world. If you're saved, quit trying to act like the world. If you're saved, quit trying to fit in. If you're saved, quit dressing like the world. If you're saved, quit talking like the world. Quit acting like them. We get saved, we're on fire for about 3 or 4 weeks, 5 weeks, whatever. And man, I'm talking about it feels good. There's a fire inside of you. And then you try to slide back into that group. You try to slide back in. You're trying to transform back. He said, be not transformed to this world. He said, don't be part of this world. Be different. Be different. I tell my daughter that all the time. Be different. It's okay. You ain't got to be like all them other girls. Be different. Don't be a carbon copy. Don't be that. Don't be that. Be different. No, preacher, I want to fit with the crowd. The crowd has hollered crucified. Crucify. Crucify. Is what the crowd hollered. He said, well, I really want my kids to fit in, preacher. I'm just telling you, I really want them to fit in. Be careful what you let them fit into. Be careful what you let them fit into. You be careful where you put them into. If they've been saved, they should not be transformed to this world. They should not be conformed to this world. They should be transformed. There should be a change going on in their life. Should be something a little different. And it should be sticking out. Let me show you this in closing tonight as we get ready to close. Oh, my goodness. I should have told us we was on overtime. Amen. Thank God. I know it's Brother Chad. I ain't got to look over. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by what? The renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Turn with me in closing. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 17. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 17. Here's what the Bible says. If you're saved, Paul told them there at Corinth, he said, man, I want y'all to know something. He said, I want you to know this and I want you to get this. 2 Corinthians 5, 17, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, any man, no matter who you are, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. In conclusion, I wrote this down. Why would anyone not want this gift? Why would anybody not want this gift? And then I told Kaylee, I said, no, type this on bottom. She said, you want me to erase that? I said, no, keep that, but put this on bottom too. I wish y'all could be in the living room. We got this going on kitchen table. She tried to get me to type it. And she said, just get out of the way. I mean, I had, you know what I'm saying? They ain't got Detroit slang on that computer. I was looking up the other night and asked Brandon, I said, how do you spell turtle? Did I not? She's told me, I said, are you sure that's how you spell turtle? I said, I don't think that's how they taught us how to spell turtle. Just didn't look right. Can I say to you, right's right, no matter if you think it is or not. Today I went and got blood, had to take blood, got some levels that's wrong, things going on, just whatever. And that little girl took my blood, she got done. And I said, do I need to see the doctor today? I'm not going to see the doctor today. She said, no, sir, she don't need to see you. Everything she needs to know is in the blood. Can I say to you tonight, listen to me. You can fool your preacher. You can fool your spouse. But everything God needs to know is in the blood. I'm not talking to the lost tonight. I'm talking to the saved. If you're saved, act like it. If not, quit calling yourself a Christian. Simple. If you're saved, act like it. Live like it. Walk like it. Talk like it. You say, preacher, that's hard. You go to the doctor, you want a stern answer. You don't want, well, maybe this will work. I don't know. Just if you try it for a little while, we'll change something. I can't stand that. Give me what the book says. If you say you're a Christian, be one. If not, just quit calling yourself one. Because you're making it look bad on the rest of us. Preacher, what's people want in this world? They want somebody that's true. They want somebody that's walking it. Not inside these four walls, but out there. Tonight, if you're saved, you are blessed beyond measure. It's priceless. It's perfect. It's promised. It's permanent and it's promised. Take care of your gift. It's going to be with you for eternity. Father, I love you. I praise you. I glorify you tonight. Lord, I love these people so much, Father. And Lord, I thank you that at this time of my life, right now, you've entrusted me to be their pastor. And Lord, you've let me be the under-shepherd of this group of folk here. And Lord, I'm going to stand one day before you and give an account for everything that I've told them. Every idle word, every word that I've said behind this sacred desk, the way I've lived my life, the way I've raised my family here, Lord, I'm going to stand one day and give an account. And Lord, I want to stand before you as real can be. Father, I love you, I praise you, I glorify you, and I thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. Bless your people in Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all of God's people say, amen. You are dismissed.